So, what's it like to be married and working together?
Well, first of all, it's almost midnight. The baby's in my arms, asleep. I just yawned before you press record. But, well, not but, more like we're ending the weekend and we're starting the week. It's just another late night.
Is that what it's like right now doing this? Is that just another late night?
Yes.
Just over and over again.
Yep.
Does it ever, how often do you think about the fact that we're married doing this work?
Often,
Really?
I do.
Seriously?
I do, and it's why we're able to show up independent of each other. It's also how we're able to do the work that we're doing with our skill sets, because I don't want there to be this expectation that because we are married, that every single time we're gonna agree, every single time we're gonna pull decisions certain ways together. There's some times where I disagree and I have, we have to be practical about what's best for the organization and the staff and the communities that we're serving. So I often think about it.
I do too. Especially when we're both on Zoom calls at the
Well, it's harder now because if I have the baby and she's fussing and I'm speaking, people often wonder how the baby went from one screen to another.
If we're in the same, that's when we're in the same
Yes,
meeting.
I know.
That's where we're, yeah. Because I'll go and get her. But that's like how we, okay, so we'll get to that in a sec, like how we juggle it. But so a lot of folks, they know who I am, and a lot of folks know, well, I've been with CP for longer, and I think a lot of people are beginning to know more of who you are because of Action Academy, because people know that, like, the buck stops with you when it comes to the books. In a lot of ways. And I think some people are not fully aware, or maybe they're, like, starting to become aware, especially because of the baby that jumps from screen to screen, that we're married. For a long time, we tried to keep it not hidden, but just not at the forefront. Like, we would, obviously we'd come to events together when it was in person, but when quarantine hit, we also, like, we really, like, went to separate rooms, and we kept it super separate, so you couldn't, like, hear that someone was in the background or something. But I think we got more comfortable with people knowing and equating us together. Why do you think that was?
I think I heard a lot more comments throughout our time with CP later rather than sooner that people are surprised that we're married. And I've heard it from several folks that say, "Oh, I didn't know, I recognize that you two had the same last name, but I never put the two together." Or, "Wait a minute, you two are married?" And I appreciate that because I want people to respect and appreciate our talents and our skill sets that are different from each other,
Individually, right?
individually, and they all contribute to why this organization is so successful so far. And I want those to really be foundations of who we are, who David is. And I think when I hear people say that and make those comments, it's really like a pat on my back to say, okay, you showed up as Larcy and he showed up as Charles.
Yeah, that's really important in this situation. And in the past, it's been super important because we've really wanted to, like, we've shown up in our own communities, like, separate from each other, right? Like, I've been heavy on, in the Black community, and you've been, hold on. I can't. So for the past like 5 seconds, you've been signaling to our youngest son that he needs to take out the trash and the garbage. Oh,
sweet. Yeah.
Come here, Kai.
Thank you.
So this is what it's like to be married and do this work. We're recording a podcast right now. And we still have to get the garbage and the recycling taken out. Or garbage and compost.
Compost. No recycle tomorrow. Thank you.
You bring them out to the cans already?
Well, unless there's a new load that has to be taken out.
Can you do that really quick, honey, before you forget, please?
Okay.
Thank you.
Just do it now, please. Thank you.
Or just take it out to the street, honey. Come on.
To the street. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's what it's like, folks. That's what it's like. I'm Filipino and Black. I was raised by my stepfather is full Black, and he's, you know, born in Louisiana, raised in Oakland, California, in the like 60s, 70s, 60s actually, I think. And so I identify as a Black man. I mean, for the longest time, that was who I identified as. Purely that. And then after you and I got together, I started to discover this kind of Filipino side of myself. Not kind of, actual. half is Filipino. My mom's full Filipino. But my affinity is with the African-American culture. And so I've always worked in that community. And you have been really active in the Filipino community for a long time. Since when? How old?
Oh gosh, since I was a kid.
Oh, because you're with the dance group.
Yep.
With Pio.
Yep.
So we've always been like separately active. And this is the first time that we're together doing something. And creating something and building something. But it was still our separate identities that we came here with you were seen as a leader in the Filipino community. If you go to the Filipino folks and ask if they know who Larcy is, you're known. I know you don't like to talk about this, but you're pretty well known. So coming here, you have you are your own self.
Mm-hmm.
Finding a place in CP, was that difficult for you in the beginning? Or did you kind of see a way for yourself already?
Well, the way you pulled me in, it really was just come meet a bunch of really awesome, passionate people with the work that we're doing. I mean, you were taking trips left and right, back and forth to Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And I was at home taking care of the kids, and, you know, weeks at a time would take them to school and pick them up and, you know, do household duties and, you know, also go to work. And
yeah, so we've got everyone knows the baby, but we've got two sons,
two older boys
that are, the one we just talked to is 14.
Yeah.
And then the older one is 16.
16.
So we were, a lot of folks don't know this, we were parents at 23.
Mm-hmm. So,
and we've known each other since middle school.
Yeah. And then I came to a few workshops, and, you know, I'm the type of person that if there's a need for help, I just kind of insert myself and just kind of pick up and help. And so that just kind of happened naturally during a workshop where lots of you all were juggling the event space of, you know, taking chairs out, organizing, getting the food.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just natural that it was just like, okay, let me grab this and do that. Okay, what else needs to get done? And that's just been who I am. And I could do that in any space. So naturally I gravitated towards that. And then eventually just conversations started to happen of like, oh, there's efficiency now that you've been added to this. And more conversations happened.
And what else can you fix?
And what else I can fix?
That was like David over and over again. What do you know how to do? What else do you know how to fix? So the story behind how you got involved is really about David at talking to you, because I really wanted I didn't want to bring you in. I wanted you to find your own way in. And I mean, I brought you in the same way that I bring the boys in that, you know, you come to events. My mom has come to events. My dad has come to events. Mm-hmm. The boys have like helped set up chairs and clean up and hand out papers. Went back when we had in-person events. And you've been around, you took pictures and stuff, yep. But you found your way into the organization through David. And that was really, really important to me that I not play a role in that at all. And he, you know, he like kept pulling you in for different stuff. Mm-hmm. And finally, now what's all the things that you have on your plate?
Jeez. You know, really getting the backbone of our organization and getting our finances situated, our operations situated. Mm-hmm. We were such a young organization that there wasn't any organization like ours. There was no manual for it. There wasn't mm-hmm. any place I can go to Google or any of my other contacts to say, hey, how should a PAC Super PAC Hybrid take care of this? Oh, and by the way, we're fiscally sponsored as well. Mm-hmm. And so
we work in 20
some states.
25 right. states right now.
Actually. So a lot of it was really some just problem solving, really getting a good accounting structure up, getting some operations and how to do a day-to-day kind of business of ours. So that took months to build.
That's one piece, the finance operation stuff.
And then now it's, you know, getting...
Well, and then there's Colorado.
Oh, yep. Team Colorado, yes.
You've been doing that since you started last
year. Yes, so it's been a good chunk of my time also, you know, mobilizing volunteers to do work and help out Team Colorado.
And then
just this past summer, we relaunched actually CP Future, but launched a really, really good program called Action Academy with 60-some students who meet twice a week for 3 to 5 hours at a time, sometimes depending on what kind of activity that we're doing with them. So
these are college students,
right? So,
and now you're in your mobilize. What do you call it?
Now we're in our mobilize modules, and so the students are doing field work, doing exactly what our volunteers are doing the phone calls, doing the texting. They're super active. I haven't even checked this weekend's past work, but I know that we are just working our butts off to make an impact on this election.
Yeah, we had Virginia calling. We had two different groups. So the CP Next folks actually did calling, and half of the calling group was folks from Action Academy for the mayoral race there in Richmond, Virginia. That's like the main hub. It's also where Monument Avenue is. It's a big, big progressive leaning city. So you're doing all this work. I'm doing all this work, and like the house is buzzing. Like we wake up in the morning, and the first thing we ask each other is when is your first meeting? When's your first call?
When's your first call? Yep. Because that determines who gets up first to either do coffee or change the baby's diapers.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Who does the coffee? Who gets the baby first? And then as the day goes, it's, you know, do you have any like outward facing meetings? Because that means you need to not have the baby.
Yes.
If you've got like a high level meeting or mm-hmm. a workshop or something that you're running. Otherwise you can have the baby with you if it's an internal thing.
Yep.
So we kind of juggle her back and forth. The boys are at school. So we're like poking in, being parents and teaching a little bit while they're doing their remote learning thing. And then my sister's like buzzing around helping out here and there, but mm-hmm. she's at school too right now.
Yep, she's doing her remote learning as well. Yeah.
And your desk is
closest to the kitchen, so I can multitask often, make sure food is also served.
Yeah, but it's terrible because it's like in this walkthrough
thing. It's the main walkway.
That and you'll like pass by and see the screen and you'll stop and work some more.
Mm-hmm.
And I am in this
corner nook.
This corner nook thing beside the stairs. We're all both on the same floor. So when we have meetings, we can hear each other in the background. But we're doing all this. We're working our butts off. This is a daily thing for us. There's a lot that's been sacrificed for this work. You had the baby on March 10th this year. And election day, primary election day in Washington mm-hmm. State, you and I, at that point, COVID was big enough that only the two of us could be in there.
Yeah.
None of our family could come in. And we walked in with our baby stuff, our baby go bag stuff. This is our third time doing it, so we're kind of not surprised by what we have to do, but we also have our ballots with us so we could fill those out, right? So we filled out the ballots. I think I was like reading through them and talking to you, and you're pacing around in your gown.
Yeah.
And then you had September Rose, and the night next day, or yeah, no, that night actually, David was doing a podcast about the results.
Yeah.
And you were laying there and you had her on your chest, and I'm like on the podcast trying to talk him through how to run the podcast, because it was he and I were supposed to do it together, and that was like the beginning. That was like the beginning of mm-hmm. her life, was election day and her parents talking about this, like the results of the election. And then like you maybe took a week off or no?
I don't even think so, because we went right into a few meetings. I wanted to make sure that nothing got left too far behind.
You were onboarding Vanna?
I was onboarding a new person that was going to backfill me while I supposedly took maternity leave, but there just was not. Well, one, we were able to be at home, which was good.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we had we didn't even master working remotely yet. There was just so many things we had to do. And I didn't want to feel like I was abandoning the team, because I can still contribute. And because there were so many things that was happening with the transition to remote, our staff not knowing the health of, you know, the people around them, because mm-hmm. how the virus was spreading.
Mm-hmm.
The epicenter being here in Seattle. And as a leader, I didn't want to take a back seat.
And I remember talking about this, because I did. There is always this. There's this like delicate line. You know, people can say that they're okay. And sometimes they're not. And they'll say that they're okay with something. And also you're a woman and you should get to decide what happens with you. And I need to listen when you tell me that you're okay, and that you want to keep working. And so it was tough. It was really tough for me to say like, she's going to be okay, or she's going to be able to decide that she doesn't need to take a break after having a baby.
I mean, we were fortunate that the pregnancy was healthy. Everything was healthy at that point. So there was no major recovery issues that I was facing. So it was okay. I had energy, I should say.
So you said you wanted to do it for the staff. How much of it was the staff and how much of it was this moment that we're in?
I think it was more for this moment. I think that, you know, if I could model anything, the model would be that you had a choice, but not every scenario allows you to have a choice. I was fortunate that I had the choice, and so I chose to keep going. But I do not recommend that at all on a regular. This was just a different year with a different set of circumstances that I chose to do what we did. But I do not recommend that on any other times where it's just pretty normal paced.
Well, there have been times where we haven't had the choice, actually.
That's very true.
We there were many years. I mean, when you're a parent at 23 and you don't have help from your family, you are. I mean, we were poor. We were poor when we had
struggling young parents.
We were struggling. We were struggling financially too. You know, it was really tough, and so we were
young parents.
We couldn't not work.
Yep.
But now is a different. This is a different time. Like it was our country. It felt like our country needed us. It feels like our country needs us. And I don't know that you and I have ever been in a situation quite like this outside of Barack Obama becoming president, when it really just felt like we needed to contribute to this moment. And I remember leading Starbucks, pushing super hard internally for Starbucks to get behind the election, and being successful with that internally. And this is another one of those moments where I feel like we need to, you know, we talk about this all the time, but we've got to step up. We've got to step up for our country, for this moment in history. Does it feel like more of a sacrifice, or does it feel like service?
I don't see it as sacrifice. I see it as service. I think this service benefits so many different lives out there, not just our own. And I feel like sacrifice meant that you are no longer with something. And I don't feel like I'm no longer with something. If anything, I'm adding so much more, a better future for September, a better future for our kids, and to show a community out there of anybody who's really wanting to see, you know, young leaders, POCs that can actually make this kind of impact out there. So I don't see it as a sacrifice. I truly see it as service.
And service to our country right now, and service to September in the future, in the country that she's going to inherit. When she's old enough to ask us, and this is all of us, you know, when the babies who are born during this pandemic, when they're old enough to ask what we did, what are we going to be able to tell them? When we talk about that we fought for our country, how hard are we going to fight? Or how hard are we going to tell them that we fought? Today, I watched, thanks to you, for the first time, Hamilton. Yeah, and it's crazy. It's only got a chance to watch it because it was on Disney Plus, and it was a cool little family thing. Today was your birthday. Happy birthday. And even in this moment, we can't forget that history has its eyes on all of us.
I was younger than you are now. When I was given my first command, I led my men straight into a massacre. I witnessed their deaths firsthand. I made every mistake and felt the shame rise in me. And even now I lie awake, knowing history has its eyes on me. History has its eyes on me. Let me tell you what I wish I'd known. When I was young and dreamed of glory, you had no control.
Who lives, who dies, who tells your story?
I know that we can win. I know that greatness lies in you. But remember, from here on in,
history has its eyes.